שייך, הלב נמשך, אני בוכה להישאר, הכל כדאי, אני חי בארץ ישראל. This is my home, this is the place to be, מרגיש את אלוקיי כאן בקרבי, אז תעלה אחי ושב איתי. This is my home, זה המקום.
You're listening to the Bring Them Home Aliyah podcast, hosted by Josh Wander.
Welcome, welcome back to the Bring Them Home podcast. This is Josh Wander from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh. We have a special guest today. His name is Moti Kahana. He's originally from here in Israel, but he is currently located, I believe, in the United States. Am I correct, Moti?
Yes, sir. New Jersey.
New Jersey. Okay, and I understand that you are... That was not your original plan. From an article that I just read this morning from in the Times of Israel, I understood that your original plan was to come from Dubai to Israel, and you were prevented from doing so. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. I was scheduled to come back to the U.S. for my birthday, and I said on my way to the U.S., I would stop in Israel and, you know, do something in Israel to do with security, by the way, and then continue to the state.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, sir.
So... this is unusual. It was mentioned in the article that Israel is I don't remember if it said the only country or one of the few countries that has ever implemented such a policy of restricting their own citizens from returning to their country. Do you have some information, some background on that? Is that something that's really unusual? Is Israel the only country that's ever done that?
I do believe it is the only country which prevent Israelis to come back home. Your music you just played a minute ago was talking about coming back home. And for us in Israeli, coming back home, we always say, you know, I live in the state for 30 years, but Israel is my home. You know, that's what we all, you know, we all, this is our country. This is, we fought for that country. And not coming home, preventing us of coming home, it's like you're putting a knife in our back or whatever you call it. It's killing us.
Now, the obvious, just to be a devil's advocate here, the obvious response to that is that there is a public health danger or concern of letting people, unlimited Israelis return. We know that it's probably been almost a year now when there was a cruise ship that was stuck that had many Israelis on it that were diagnosed with COVID. And they were restricted at first from coming into the country. In the end, they did allow them to enter the country. And there's a lot of concern, especially in lieu of the fact that there are all these mutations that are now popping up all around the world, that this may be a public health concern. What is your response to that?
Well, first thing, I agree to what happened a year ago. A year ago, you're right, it was the beginning of Corona. Vaccine was not available. PCR test was not quick enough to give you a result. I mean, yes, a year ago, that was the right action. Today, in my case, I'm just going to give you my case. I was vaccinated, first vaccine by Pfizer in January 10th. Second one, February 10th. This is almost a month ago, my second vaccine. I asked the Israelis, can I enter with my vaccine? New Jersey state vaccine. I got it through the state. The National Guard gave me the vaccine. And no, it's not good for Israel. It doesn't work. I was like, what do you mean it doesn't work? It's the exact same vaccine you're giving in Israel. Oh, there's a lot of fake vaccine, you know, whatever it is, the excuse on the Israeli side. You know, Israel can easily communicate with the state of New Jersey to find out if I did get vaccinated or not. And I'm not the only one. There's plenty of Americans which already got vaccinated. Now, to compare to the boat which stuck in Japan a year ago, one, some of us already been vaccinated over a month ago, or at least 3 weeks ago. That's one. Second, PCR. I went to Dubai into a conference. Thousands of people in that conference. Before we arrived in Dubai, we needed PCR test. Arriving in Dubai, another PCR test. At the conference, daily PCR test. And not that complicated to do it the right way. Can be done the right way. What I'm asking the Israeli government, it's not to use politics or whatever they're doing right now. Israelis can do it the right way. Many of us already been vaccinated. Many of us doing the PCR test. You know, it's not so complicated to do it the right way. but to and at the same time, we're watching the media, and if you connect it to the right political party in Israel, it's easier for you to enter Israel. That's not right.
So that is actually a claim that was made in the Times of Israel article, which was suggesting that there were political motivations to decide who would be or not would not be allowed to enter the country. My understanding is, as of last week, they announced that before the election, that anyone coming to vote would be allowed in regardless of their background or what political attachments they may have. Do you know something different?
No, I understand one day before the election, they will open the gate and Israeli can fly to Israel, but they didn't say what day. They didn't say it will be an hour before the election. You know, flying from the state is a little bit over an hour. A day before the election, you got to get yourself organized in the U.S. Some people have, you know, families, you got the daycare or whatever you need to do. I mean, come on, it can be, can, you know, the Israeli can allow Israeli citizen to enter Israel the same as in Dubai, they enter, you know, tourists enter. There is a way to do it the right way. To open the election, to let us come for an election a day before, 2 days before, or whatever, they're keeping us in the dark. They're not even saying what day we can come and vote.
So you came up with a very unique response to this, and that is to bring a, for lack of a better word, a flotilla from the country of Cyprus, full of Israelis, to the borders of Israel, and to sort of put political pressure on Israel to allow these Israelis to enter. Can you tell us a little bit about your idea?
Yeah, I follow my ancestor, my grandparents, my uncles, my family, and many of us in Israel came to Israel after the Holocaust when the British did not allow the Israeli to enter. And some made it to Israel, some were sent back to Cyprus. And I thought if our grandparents or our families fought and made it to Israel and built a country, even the Brits were stopping them of doing it, I would love to see what the Israeli government stopping an Israeli citizen which fought for the country to actually come and enter Israel legally. What we're asking to do is enter Israel legally, with the system in place, with everything can be done the right way. And the only reason I picked Cyprus, distance, it's not that far. And the meaning of what happened to us right after the Holocaust, Cyprus, you know, was refugee camp in Cyprus. And Brits sent a bunch of us back to this camp. I would be saddened to see 70 years later, the Israeli government sending us back to Cyprus.
Do you know if there have been any legal appeals to try to bring this up in the court system here in Israel? Have there been members of Knesset or the government that have been approached in order to see if they can help assist with this?
Yeah, I do understand there's a court hearing on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday. Right now, my flight is on Tuesday. I'm asking to fly into Israel on Tuesday. I still get no, you cannot enter Israel. I did say if I'm not entering Israel on Wednesday, my flight is Tuesday, as I said, entering Israel on Wednesday, if they don't let me, on Tuesday, I will change the flight to Cyprus. Hopefully when I'm in Cyprus, getting ready for the boat, if they open the gate, that's great. Israeli from all over the world will come to Israel. If they're not opening the gate, right now I'm working to get the boat, the captain, everything in place. On Wednesday, Thursday, the latest, you know, Shabbat is very important for me. My mom is in Israel. I promised my mom I will come for Shabbat dinner at your house, or she can come to my hotel. I always keep my promises. As I said, I enter Syria and exit Syria in the last 10 years. Trust me, I will make it to Israel for Shabbat dinner. You have my word on it.
First of all, you're welcome to come to us for Shabbat. We live in a very special place. As you can see behind us, we actually live on Har HaZeitim in Yerushalayim, and we have a beautiful view behind us of the Har HaBayit. You're always welcome. But let me ask you, what is the plan? You're trying to find other Israelis. Are you advertising to try to find other Israelis that are going to board this boat and to come to the shores of Israel to pressure the Israeli government?
Hey, I didn't have to find them. They found me. In Dubai, for example, I was told there's over 200 Israelis. I was at the conference seeing a bunch of Israelis at the conference stuck, trying to come back from Israel. They're stuck in Dubai. Those the one came to the conference and stuck. Then when I realized I cannot, you know, cannot enter Israel, I went on Facebook, started looking for what the story is, what's going on. And I saw so many group of Israeli trying to get back to Israel, and everybody was talking to each other. I joined some of those groups, and I see, you know, right now I'm getting hundreds of Israeli messages. Should we come to Cyprus? I said, no, not yet. Hold, because Cyprus, there's 10 days. You know, you have to stay there, be dude for 10 days. I'm asking the Cyprus authority to let us transfer from the airport direct to the boat. Then there's no need to stay in Cyprus for 10 days. Because everybody coming into Cyprus with PCR test negative, then from the airport straight to the boat, before we're sailing, another PCR test, make sure we're all clean before we're sailing, and less than 24 hours, we'll be in the show. Yes, there's hundreds of Israelis already contacting me where we should go, where is the location we all living. And my comment right now, hold tight, I'm checking with some other countries in the area. As soon as we know exactly where people can come in and don't need to be in quarantine for at least, you know, a day, but not 10 days, then we will sell. By the way, just to let you know, this morning, a group out of Italy already sent me a message. They're on the boat already since last night, and they are on the way to Israel.
Now, is there a difference of how the Israeli government relates to people that are sailing through maritime vessels versus coming on aircraft?
I think the same thing. I mean, they don't let you in, they don't let you in.
I know that it was a loophole that was I think sealed up, because at first they didn't have the same rules, at least as far as land crossings. You were able to cross through land crossings even after they sealed the airport, but I believe that they sealed that as well.
Yeah, I was getting a lot of messages, fly to Jordan, fly to Egypt, and you cross through that. I was told that shut down, you cannot cross through those two location. I think I look at it this way. Not only we're doing it because we want to come for Pirot, we want to come for Israel, this is our country, we fought for it. Many of us was willing to die for Israel. It's also symbolic, civilly symbolic, to honor our, you know,
sacrifice
families which fought for the country. For the British, right after the Holocaust, there's nothing. There's no money broken emotionally, and they actually made it to Israel, built this beautiful country. And now you're telling us, the kids of those families or immigrant to Israel, you're not welcome in Israel? This is crazy. This is not who we are.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about your idea for this boat? How many people is it supposed to hold? Is there going to be food for these people to, or how long will there be provisions for these people to stay on the boat? Because obviously, they're not going to be able to be held up at the border for very long if there's not adequate food and water to feed them.
Well, it will definitely be enough food and water for one day. The route is not that far. Israel, Cyprus is very close. I was told by the captain, it's one day, you make it to Israel. We will have enough food and water for one day. Hopefully the Israeli will not let us starve on the boat when we're in front of Tel Aviv port. I will be very surprised if we get to Tel Aviv, because I guarantee you on the Tel Aviv side, many Israeli will come and try to pressure the government to let us in. We're not asking to do anything illegal. We're asking to come in the right way, in an organized way. If you got the vaccine, you have your PCR test, you're welcome to enter the country. If you didn't, go to Melonit. You can stay at Melonit. You know, go through the system. It's not so difficult to do it the right way. I mean, learn from the Amaret. They're actually doing it the right way. It's not so difficult.
Let me just switch gears for a second, because I wanted to speak to you a little bit about your other activities, your philanthropist activities that you were involved. You mentioned earlier that you went to Syria. I know you were involved in the Yemenite Jewry as well, and Jews that are stuck in other countries. Can you tell us what's happening right now with the Jewish communities in other countries? Are they still Are there still Jews that are desperate to come home that are not able to?
Yes, in Syria, they're not. Everybody wanted to come to Israel or immigrate out of Syria. On the Syrian side, there's 18 families. They're all good. They don't want to leave. It's their life. They've been there for thousands of years. And if they choose to stay there, to stay in Syria, it's great for them. You know, I do not judge them. That country, I can actually say the name of the country because Israel is still at war with that country. And Bougie Herzog, you can make a phone call to him. He knows exactly what country I'm talking about. There is not only Jews in that country. There's Israeli citizens in that country, which married to non-Jew, and they don't let them to bring the wives or the kids because the wives and the kids are not Jew. But that's an Israeli citizen. And they pretty much told them, you're welcome to come to Israel before Corona. You're welcome to come, but you have to leave your wife and the kids behind. I don't judge no one. If the family see themselves as Jewish people, and they are willing to convert and go through the system, they definitely can do it in Israel. That specific country, it's not safe for them. At least that's what they feel. But they're still stopping them of coming to Israel. And that's not right. Those are some of them. Are an Israeli citizen, not Arab Israeli, Jewish. And I'm not judging. If it's Arab Israeli, that's, you know, it is what it is. I'm not going to judge, but I'm Jewish. I'm focusing on my own people. See, my logo and my company, it's all about the Choshen, because I worry about the 12th tribe of the Jews. I'm a Kahana. I'm not different last name. And that country, we should let those Jews, especially in Israeli, to come back. That's before the Corona. In Yemen, unfortunately, I can't talk too much about that country. There's few families still stay behind, 40 plus left, which was great. And I want to thank Zev Elkin, just for the record. Zev Elkin did it. It's in secret. Zev Elkin was the first one to help me with another individual, Malcolm Online. Those two people was helping me quietly, never took the credit of rescuing the Yemeni Jews till this moment, still silence about that because they don't want to risk the remaining Jews within that country. Unfortunately, that country, there's one individual which need help, and the Prime Minister's office knows exactly what I'm talking about. You need to help that Jewish person which got in problem in that specific location because they know the Israeli was making. And Malcolm Online, Zev Elkin knows exactly what I'm talking about, include Bougie Herzog. We should help Jews in any place around the world, include that specific country. And if anyone listen and would like to help, contact Malcolm Online, Zev Elkin, or the Prime Minister's office. They know exactly what needs to be done in that specific location. Outside of that, you know, we have the line in the neighborhood. And that's a good thing. We're not a sheep anymore as Jewish people. And lions should act as a lion and not a sheep. And outside of those two countries and Israeli that's stuck around the world at the moment, which will be solved, I'm sure, very quickly. No, everything is in the Middle East. I'm talking about the Middle East. The rest of Jews in the Middle East in a very good shape right now.
Now, besides a moral question, this is not a question that should be answered by Bougie Herzog. There is a legal definition for the right of return, which includes spouses of Israeli citizens, spouses of Jews that want to return, even if their spouse is not Jewish, they still, as far as I know, eligible under the right of return to come back with their spouses. So I don't think that this is a Jewish agency issue as much as a Israeli government issue. Would you?
Actually, it's a very good point. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. It's good you brought it up. Derry is the Ministry of Internal and is preventing an Israeli citizen, a Jewish Israeli citizen, married to a non-Jew having a kid, is preventing him to enter Israel. This is crazy. He was living in ISIS territory. ISIS was about to take his area, and then they still did not preventing him to enter Israel. This is not right. You know, I will not judge who is a Jew, who is not a Jew. Usually the rabbi of those countries I will ask the rabbi to do with Syria, for example. If the Syrian rabbi telling me I have an issue in Syria when the mom and the daughter came to Israel, and one of the sisters was not allowed to enter Israel. I'm not a rabbi. I usually ask the Syrian Jewish rabbi, which in that case helped me to get the Jews out of Syria to Istanbul at the time. And I followed the rabbi of the community. If a Syrian Jewish community telling me a Jew is always a Jew, because within Syria, when you get married to non-Jew, you're forced to convert. And in that specific case, the rabbi knew the detail. She was not converted. She was keeping kosher. That's the crazy part. She was Jewish. You know, she felt Jewish, but legally she was afraid and she signed paperwork to convert. I'm not judging who is a good Jew, who is a bad Jew, what type of a Jew you are. You have your own local community rabbi. If the rabbi, Syrian rabbi, telling me that the family is Jewish, I follow the rabbi of the local community. The Israeli government should not decide who is a Jew, who is not a Jew, who is good Jew, who is a bad Jew. That's not right. Every community.
Just to clarify, because the law of return is one of the basic laws of Israel. Israel does not, as of yet, have a constitution, although they've been working on it for over 7 decades. The law of return has very few exceptions to it. One of those exceptions is the fact if someone is considered to be a criminal or somehow endangering society here. Again, I don't know this specific case. I don't know if this person, the people that were involved, are somehow involved with terrorist activities or something like that. Another example is public health issues that we mentioned a little bit earlier. And the third issue is someone who renounces their Jewishness. If someone willingly renounces their Jewishness and converts to another religion, then that is considered to be an exceptional case that the courts have ruled on as far as the law of return. So you've mentioned at least two of the three of these things, which may be of concern, which is that it might be a security issue if they're married to Muslims or people that may have been involved with, you know, especially if they were in an ISIS area. I don't know, again, the specifics. And the second question is if somebody renounced their Jewishness, that could also be problematic as far as the law of return is concerned.
Yeah, well, in that specific individual, he did not renounce his Jewishness. He's a Jew, and in that case, an Israeli. He did not fought with ISIS. He was just living in that area before ISIS was getting closer to the area. They did not at the end. ISIS actually did not make it to his area, but he was afraid at the time. In his case, the only avon he did, the only thing he actually did, fell in love, married to a non-Jew. It's the only thing he did. And he was telling me, my wife would love to convert to Judaism. My wife, you know, she's actually not even Arab. She's Kurdish. Mm-hmm. And Kurds love the Jews, just for the record. They see the Kurdish people see themselves as the original Jews or the neighbors to Abraham, you know, original Judaism. They love, the Kurds love the Jews. They think we are the same, almost same tribes. And in his case, there was no issue, but he married non-Jew, and you're welcome to come, leave your wife and your daughter behind. And this is not right. Our country, Israel, should not get involved, you know, if you're a good Jew or bad Jew or whatever Jew you are. To do with the law, you're right. By the way, I'm in law school, Zoom school, with Kiryat Ono, which is a great program. I just started it. A few weeks ago, we started it. And you're right, Israel does not have constitution. You're right, 100%. Israel should one day have constitution. You know, I agree with you. And that's how we're debating in law school, by the way. That's exact those exact questions.
Well, there's been a committee in the Knesset for decades now that have been working on it, but it's not so simple. We can't even get our elections right, let alone a constitution.
Yeah, we're missing George Washington and his friends.
George Washington was the right person at the right time. Where I'm not sure he would have been the right person here, but okay.
He did a wonderful job where I'm at. He actually built a beautiful country.
Uh-huh. Okay. Is there anything else that you would like to add? You know, this is all fascinating, and I'm definitely, we're going to keep in touch and abreast to what is going on from day to day, and we would like to try to get this message out to as many people as we can and that are interested in coming home.
Yeah, please do. To do with the Jews around the world, just remember one thing. I mean, we live in the States. You guys live in Israel. Just remember there's some, you know, I would say conflict between political conflict between Jews. But remember one day, we all Jews. We have enough enemies. In the last 2,000 years, we're going to have same amount of enemies in the next 2,000 years. What kept us alive in the last 2,000 years and more, it's us being together. That's the most important thing. Unless we help each other out, because enemies, we have plenty of them. We just need to help each other out. Saying that, as you in Israel right now, please contact the Israeli government. Let them know outside helping Jews around the world, which they're doing, by the way, wonderful. Only a few cases, there's some issues. But outside of that, the Israeli government, Bougie and the Sochnut, doing wonderful, wonderful job. But no complaint there. They brought my family to Israel. But outside of a few cases, they should have some office of few cases to overseeing those special cases and not just bounce people around. But the message I would like to deliver in this thing, in your program at the moment, outside of Jews should be united as Jewish people to do with Israeli right now, trying to come home to vote. It's our basic democratic right. Asking the Israeli government, there is a way to do it the right way. Most of us willing to accept all the law of Israel, all the issues. Some of us got vaccinated, at least phase one, let the one which got the vaccine, the second one a month ago to enter Israel. It's the second one. They're talking about green passport. We already did it. New Jersey did a wonderful job. Gave us, we pretty much, I don't know the percentage, but we got the vaccine, which means if everybody listening, I will ask, if you know anyone in the Israeli government, do phase one. If you're already vaccinated in the state, easy to actually confirm we got vaccinated. It's from the state of New Jersey. Let us in. I mean, come on. We're Israeli citizens. But if you don't, as I said, on my case, I promise you, this Shabbat dinner, I'm with my mom for Kiddush. Give you my word on it. And by the way, where you live, I used to work there at Modin Ezrahi many, many years ago. I used to work at Ateret Kohanim as well.
Modin Ezrahi is no longer the contracted third-party contractor, but okay.
That was 91. But I was with Ateret Kohanim in the old city. I was doing all the security for them. So that was a long time ago.
Interestingly enough, I'm not sure if you're up to date about what's going on here, but we have five thriving Jewish communities here today on the Mount of Olives.
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
The one on top of the mountain, all the way on top by what used to be called the Intercontinental Hotel. Today it's called the Seven Arches Hotel.
I know the location very well.
It is known as Beit HaChoshen. You spoke about the Choshen before. It's called Beit HaChoshen. It has the most beautiful view of the Temple Mount. Actually, this is taken from right next to that, this photo behind me. And interestingly enough, I pray there every Friday night, and we have a unique custom there. For those that say the prayer of Lachadodi, on Friday nights, there's a universal custom to turn around either to the back of the synagogue or to the doors of the synagogue by Bo'i B'Sholem. So here we don't turn around. The Shekhinah, God's presence, is right in front of us. We don't turn our backs to God's presence, so we stay standing forward. I think it's the only synagogue like that in the entire world. So we feel very privileged to live in such a special place in such a special time.
You just gave me the chills. You understand? I'm in love with my country since 53 years ago. You just gave me the chill, what you just described. I know the area very well. As I said, I worked with Danny. I was doing all the security inside the wall in the old city. What you guys doing, I mean, this is amazing. I really, really salute you. Can I drive on Shabbat to you guys? Because I do drive on Shabbat. To come for Kiddush, or
we prefer
not
that you don't, but the roads are open, the roads are not closed. We have most of our population is not Jewish, so around us, so we don't, all the public transportation is open on Shabbat here. I'm talking about the...
I'm coming from Tel Aviv. I mean, I can't walk from Tel Aviv.
You're more than welcome to come Erev Shabbat and stay over. Or first of all, to get the whole experience, you don't want to just come for a meal, for Kiddush. There's a lot more going on here. Every Saturday morning, I walk in through the gate, which you can't see so clearly, but there's the Lion's Gate right over here. We walk through the Lion's Gate, and we walk through we go what is known as a Sivuv Sha'arim. We go through all the gates of the Temple Mount in order to get to our synagogue in the Old City. Thank God, we have lots of guests every Shabbat. Usually they're yeshiva students or seminary students, and we take them on a tours of the area. There's so much to learn over here, and we we feel that it's our responsibility, being granted this opportunity to live in such a special place in such a special time, to be able to teach other people about this place. And our organization is actually geared. It's called Bring Them Home, and it's geared order to try to do exactly that, to try to bring the Jews back to Israel.
We have a boat very soon. We need your help to get back home.
I do
know the area. I always say I was born in Jerusalem. I will be buried in Jerusalem. I'm not interested to die in Syria or Iraq. Or if I do, I like to come back to Jerusalem. This is my city. You just gave me the chill describing what you guys are doing.
And I grew up actually in all four quarters of the old city. So I thank God I got the chance to live in all the quarters. And we're back home, and we're encouraging, and we're trying to educate Jews, especially Orthodox Jews, because we have a common language when we speak about the Torah and its obligation and the centrality of Eretz Israel and living here today. So it's very easy for us to discuss with Jews, Orthodox Jews around the world, why they should be living here from a Torah perspective, not just because Israel is a prettier place to live or there's a better quality of life in living here, but that Torah actually obligates us and expects us, the Jewish people, to fulfill their destiny by coming back to their land.
Right, it's our DNA. You know, the salmon always going back when the place he was born. Even the bear along the way trying to eat them. They're still going to go back, you know?
Beautiful.
This is where we're at. Our DNA is from the mountain you're at.
I know this that you have special started. DNA in you, because I read on Wikipedia that you are a descendant of the Ketzot HaChoshen, which yes. Anybody who's learned in a yeshiva is very familiar with. I have to ask you if you're also related to the Kahana families that are here today, because I actually do a weekly podcast with Rav Nachman Kahana in the Old City. We do a podcast together, and I've been fortunate enough to pray with him for the past over 30 years. So we're very close to the family. Are you related?
Kahana, it's a small family. Kahana is a very interesting. I found that completely by accident. My father passed away when I was very young. And my mom actually married a Druze guy, and I grew up in a Druze village, which means my relationship to the Kahana family, I did not know much about it until I got older and I Googled. Kahana family, Mishpachat Kahana. And the story I found out a few years ago was completely crazy. When Titus destroyed the temple, he took the four richest family from Jerusalem and a bunch of Jews for slaves and stole the money and all this thing, and he built the arch in Rome, Titus Arch. And the Kahana family was the last high priest of Jerusalem. Kahana means in Aramaic, Kahan, Kohen, Na, Gadol, Kohen Gadol. And I found that completely by accident. Why I have the Choshen on my neck, on my t-shirt, on my company logo? Because Kahana, in my opinion, my family, the Kahana family, I feel it's coming as responsibility. You obligate. Like somebody asked me, why are you helping Jews to come to Israel? Why do you care? I don't know why. It may be in my DNA. I don't know why. But I can tell you, if you talk to any Kahana family in Israel, I know Ariel Kahana a little bit. We don't agree politically, but we are equally love the Jewish people. And most Jews love Jews, just for the record, not only the Kahana family. But the Kahana family, somehow it's in, I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know what's making us do what we do, but it may be in our DNA. It comes with a headache, daily headache. Why I have to worry about Jews stuck in Iraq or Yemen or whatever the country they got stuck? Because it's an obligation. You know, it's an obligation. We have the Choshen, and we should worry about our 12 tribes. And it's a more headache as I would like. I would love sometime in my life not to be a Kahana, but it is what it is. It comes with, you know, a duty. And that's what I feel. Maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm not, but that's what I feel. And I'm sure many, many Jews, by the way, feeling the exact same thing. I'm not the only one. But no, I do not know the Kahana side of my family. But slowly I'm start building, you know, I'm doing, trying to find out that's how I made it to Ketzavot HaChoshen, Rabbi Hillel Kahana, because we are the descendants of that family. And most of the Kahana are most of us, because it's a small, tiny little family. It is not that big of a family.
So a little known fact that the son of Rav Meir Kahana, Hashem Yikom Damo, his name is Baruch Kahana. He's a very big tzaddik, and he's actually being groomed to be the next Kohen Gadol. They actually have, I don't know if you're aware of this, but for the first time in 2,000 years, there are dozens of families of Kohanim that are living in and around the old city of Jerusalem with Bigdei Kuhuna inside of their closets, ready to do the Avodah and the Beit HaMikdash. There are dozens of Kolalim, including in our community, that learns they learn Kodshim in order to instruct them. And we have rebuilt all of the vessels, all the Kelim of the Beit HaMikdash, with the exception of the one that can't be rebuilt, which is the Aron HaBrit, which was put into hiding 30 years before the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. And for those that need to know where that's at, we know where that's at. We have refound it, Tchelet. We're in the process of rebreeding the Parah Duma. We're light years ahead of where we were just a few years ago in this Geula process. Most people, even here in Israel, are not aware of it, let alone in New Jersey. But we're trying to get that message out.
This is great. I mean, Google Mishpachat Kahana. You'll be amazed to find out. I am trying to get to the Vatican because there is one of the first Pope is accounted was a Kahana, the exact same name. Yeah, I've made it all the way to him. I'm trying to work on that. When I retire, I'm going to focus on try to go back and find out really the story of the Kahana family. But Kahana in Aramaic, Kahan, Kohen, na Gadol, Kohen Gadol. Oh, ve Kohen, ve Kohen. That's if you translate to English. To do with the male Kahana, just to keep transparency, I was in the Kahana movement when I was 18 years old for my own reason. I met Meir Kahana. I still have the book at home. Hashem Yikom Damo. And I knew I was in the movement when I was 18 years old. But I still go and help Muslim. And, you know, if you don't want to kill my people and you want to walk and help my people to stay safe in the country we belong to, I'll be your friend. You're trying to kill me, I'll kill you. But if you want to be, you know, living next to me in peace, I will be more and helpful and happy to do exact same, you know, exact that. To do with the Kohanim in Jerusalem, tell Rabbi Kahana, you know, we all in our DNA for our own reason know one thing would definitely going to happen. We will go back to Jerusalem. In your case, you guys did. It took us maybe 2,000 years to get there. It may take another 2,000 years to build a building, which we belong to. As every time I argue with my Palestinian friend, and he say, we used to live in Tzfat, and we have land in Tzfat, and you Jews took my land. I say, let's have a deal. We pay you for your land in Tzfat, and you pay us for the land in Jerusalem. You knock down your building, we knock down our building, and we do exchange of land. And that's what my, you know, my conversation with my many Palestinian, Syrian Palestinian in that matter, which argue we took the land in the north. If they knock their building in Jerusalem and we build back our Beit HaMikdash, they can have paid. We're not going to knock the building in Tzfat, but we will pay them for the value of the building in Tzfat, as long as they pass for the value in the building in Jerusalem. But anyway, you guys doing a wonderful, wonderful
Kahana
job.
The Kahana family, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the local Kahana family actually has roots in Tzfat. Their grandparents were his grandfather, Rav Nachman Kahana's grandfather, was the rabbi in Tzfat in the 19th century, and there's definitely connections there. But we're not going to go into Kahana family trees over here. We're gonna try to keep it more universal for everybody. We'll talk about it privately. But thank you so much for joining us. And it's been a pleasure. We'll try to get this message out to everyone. We do want to have all the Jews come back to Israel. We believe that that is an intrinsic part of the Geula process, is the Kibbutz Galiot, is in order to get the Jews back from wherever they are, from the four corners of the world. And we are doing our small part, and you're doing your large part in order to make that happen. And we appreciate and commend you for that.
Thank you so much. And let's start of helping to bring Israeli Jews back to Israel for election.
Okay. We'll see you soon.
Thank you so much.
Be well.
Thank you, John. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for listening to the Bring Them Home Aliyah podcast. If you identify with our message, please subscribe and tell your friends about us too. You can leave us a review on iTunes, as that really helps us grow. We're available on iTunes, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. For sponsorship opportunities and for all other inquiries, please email us at bringthemhomeisrael@gmail.com. Check out our website at www.israeltorah.org for more content on this vital topic. This is the place to be.